Hey guys, welcome to IC Maidan Church at Home. I'm so happy to have you guys here with me as encouragement and support. So I'm not in the building alone, but I'm also not alone because I have all of you guys here with me. And I'm so excited today because we're getting back to our study from the book of Jude. We're back in Hey Jude. You probably could tell from the intro, we're back to the Beatles song and the cool animation. I really enjoyed like an intermission the last few weeks, and I really felt like the series Everything's Gonna Be Okay was timely, and it was worth taking a break, right, and going into that and being reminded. But I love book studies, and I think it's important for us to look at the books of the Bible and see the warnings and the examples and the lessons that are taught. And the reason I say warning is because Jude is giving us a warning. If you guys remember, there's already been 4 weeks, so this is week number 5 of this series. So if any of you guys missed the first 4 weeks, you can look back at our YouTube channel or look back at Instagram TV and catch up on this. But this is all a warning from Jude, the brother of Jesus. And he writes this letter to the church in general, not to any specific church. It's why these are the general epistles or the general letters, because it's just to the church. So it's relevant for us because we are the church. Here in 2020 in the city of Maidan, we are the church. So Jude's warning is for us as well. And if you remember last time in this series, we looked at Cain. Jude gave 3 examples of apostates or people who had fallen away from the truth, people who not only were falling away, but they led other people astray. And so Jude is saying, watch out for these people. Watch out for people like Cain, like we talked about a few weeks ago. And there's 2 other guys that he mentions, and we're going to look at those over the next 2 weeks. And today we're looking at Balaam. The verse in Jude, it's Jude chapter 1. There's only 1 chapter of Jude. In verse number 11, it says, "Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion." So when Jude is talking about these apostates, these people who have fallen away, these people that we need to watch out for, he gives us these examples of their characters. So we could know, hey, watch out when you have someone like Cain around you, or watch out when your heart begins to be like Cain. We need to say, God, help me, you know, how do I deal with this and how do I deal with this? And then he also says, not only Cain's way, but Balaam's error. And that's what we're going to look at today, the error of Balaam. And the title of this message today is Mark Your Valuables. You know, it's important sometimes to mark your valuables. Put your name on it. What is valuable to me? Maybe put the price on it so you're not tempted to negotiate and sell something for less than it's worth. So what is the error of Balaam? Balaam had a heart problem just like Cain. Everything in our lives, we know this, everything is from the heart. When we have any problems around us, it's coming from the heart. Everything flows from the heart. Cain's problem was from his heart, and we talked about that problem he had with the jealousy, and it led him to the murder of his own brother. And here's Balaam. Now, the story of Balaam is like this. It was in the days when Moses was leading God's people. Moses was the chosen one, the one that God had chosen to lead his people out of Egypt. And at this time, when they're wandering around in the desert, the king of Moab sees God's people, and he is scared to death. He sees all of these people, and he calls this prophet named Balaam. Balaam was a well-known prophet. He was known to be successful at what he did. If he blessed, people were blessed. If he cursed, people were cursed. He was renowned. He was famous. So the king of Moab calls for Balaam, and he says, look at these people. They covered the entire earth. I mean, there were so many of them. He was scared as a leader of his nation. He's scared. They cover the face of the earth, and they are too mighty for me. And see, here he's asking Balaam to curse these people. He calls the prophet to say, hey, will you curse God's people for me? Will you stop this? If Balaam had been a godly man, he would have said no right away. He wouldn't have considered it, right? Hey, I want you to do something bad to these people. Balaam would have known these are God's people. There's no way I'm going to get involved with that. But Balaam had a heart problem. He had a heart issue. God spoke to Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, verse 12. Do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. So here's Balaam. He goes back to the king of Moab and he says, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do it. God won't let me. You know, Balaam is sort of, he sees himself more as a negotiator, like a dealer. He's really more like a businessman. I like to refer to it as a prophet for profit. You know, he's in the prophecy business. It's not a ministry for him. It's a business, a prophet for profit. What can I get out of this? So God said, don't go with them. God said, don't put a curse on the people. He said, they are blessed by me. You can't curse them. But Balaam is still trying to wheel and deal. And he tells Moab, hey, I can't do it. God won't let me go with you. You know, he doesn't mention that God said, don't curse them. He doesn't mention that they were blessed. He's basically like, fellas, please. Hey, you know me. I'm Balaam. You know, I would love nothing more than to curse these people for you. It's the big guy. It's the big guy. He's the one stopping me. You know, maybe let me go back and try again. Let me go talk to God again. Let me go try to negotiate this deal. You know, the king of Moab had said in verses 15 through 17, he tells him, I will reward you. I mean, Balaam was moved by the offer. You know, I think it's something like the king of Moab took a napkin and wrote a number on it and slid it across the table. Balaam, what do you think about this? Balaam looks at it. It's like, how many zeros is that? All right, I'm going to go talk to him again. And he goes back to God. I mean, you can see the error already. God said, do not do this. And Balaam, because he's for sale, he thinks, maybe I can negotiate this. Maybe I can get that and be on God's side at the same time. He was more interested in greed. He was selfish. God's answered and was very clear, but Balaam loved money more than truth. Balaam hoped to convince God, and you can imagine him going back, hey, God, they're back. I know, I mean, they gave me this offer. You wouldn't believe the zeros, those pagans. I don't know why. Why can't they be holy like us, God? I mean, why can't they just leave me alone? But here they are again, and they're saying they'll give me all of this if I just put a curse on the people. What do we want to do? What do we want to do here? And so God is really annoyed and irritated. God sees right through Balaam. God can't be manipulated. We know that. God's not like, oh, wow. God's not for sale either. Wow, that is a lot of zeros, Balaam. Let's go for it. I get 10%, right? You're going to tithe. God isn't like that. And you could see, he sees the heart. He's never fooled. God sees right. He's never fooled by manipulators, never fooled by schemers. He sees right into the heart and he knows what's going on. But he says, sure, go with them, but only do what I tell you to do. We see it in Numbers chapter 22. Verses 18 through 19. But God was angry at Balaam because he had come back and asked again. He was angry because Balaam was negotiating. He was angry that Balaam was still considering something that he had told him was a clear no. And if you remember this story, something crazy happens. God puts an angel of the Lord in the path of Balaam. Do you remember this? When Balaam gets up and he's going and he's riding on his donkey, and the donkey sees the angel of the Lord with a sword. And Balaam keeps trying to go, and the donkey keeps pushing him against the walls and trying to knock him around. And Balaam is beating the donkey. Hey, keep going straight. And the donkey keeps moving. And finally, after getting beat one too many times, the donkey says, hi, I say, what's going on up there? I don't know what his accent's like. I just, you know, I've been your donkey all these years. Have I ever done anything like this? And you beat me. Don't you see there's an angel of the Lord there? And then his eyes are open. Balaam's eyes are open and he sees the donkey's trying to protect him. It's this amazing thing. Imagine Balaam is supposed to be a prophet. He's supposed to be a seer. He's a blind seer. He couldn't even see God in front of his own path. He had to be warned by a donkey. And so here's Balaam. He's warned. He sees the angel. The angel says, Balaam, your way is reckless. The path you're choosing is reckless. This isn't God's way. You're living reckless. You're going for your own selfish desire. You're greedy. You're easily manipulated. You think you can negotiate with God. You think you can work deals with God. You can't even see the angel of the Lord standing before you. Your way is reckless. He's a prophet moved by money, a prophet that questions God. I mean, it's okay for us to have questions, but this questioning spirit, God, maybe you made a mistake on that one. I think, you know, what if I just put a little curse? A prophet who can't even see the angel of the Lord. So Balaam goes to the mountain with the king. This gets even crazier. He goes to the mountain with the king and all of the people, and he tries to put a curse on God's people. He tries to do it. He literally goes to the mountain. He tries to put the curse, and Numbers chapter 23, verse 5 says that God put a word in his mouth. I mean, think about this for a moment. He's standing there. He's still thinking about, hey, I know God's a little upset with me, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my reward, and I think I'm going to still be saved. Everything's okay. And he wants to speak the curse, and God puts a word in his mouth. So he goes and tells the king, and part of the blessing, part of the word that God put in his mouth is this: how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I condemn those whom the Lord has not condemned? You can imagine the king is angry. Hey, I'm paying you to curse these people. I called you up here. You made it. We got a deal, right? We negotiated this thing. So the king takes him to another location. Let's try another spot. Let's try another view. Let's try this from another angle. And so Balaam goes, and again, God puts a word in Balaam's mouth. Can you imagine this? He's trying to curse God's people, and when he tries to speak curses, God himself is putting a word in his mouth. And this time, part of it is something like this. Listen, I received a command to bless. God has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. No misfortune is in his plan for Jacob. No trouble is in store for Israel, for the Lord their God is with them. He has been proclaimed their king. God brought them out of Egypt. For them, he is as strong as a wild ox. No curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. For now it would be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done for Israel. Wow, after hearing that, you would think the king is like, okay, I'm done with this. They try a third time. Can you believe it? A third time, they go to another location. This third try, let's see if from this spot, let's see if from this view, from this angle, you can actually curse the people. And again, like you could guess, what do you think happened? God puts a word in his mouth. He says, this is found in Numbers 24:9, like a lion, Israel crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to arouse her? Who dares to wake her? Who dares to disturb her? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. The king is furious and tells Balaam, I promised you a reward, but the Lord has robbed you of your reward. There's no curse. And now I want you to imagine this in your mind. Picture what's going on here. I mean, we see the picture. We see Balaam on the mountain. We see the king. We see all of this. But what we don't imagine sometimes and what we don't realize is at the bottom of that mountain was God's people camped, resting peacefully. I mean, think about this for a moment. While up on the mountain, the enemy is trying to curse them, God's people's just resting. They're in their camp, just peaceful, just living their life. They had no idea the enemy was trying to curse them. They had no idea that from the mountain, someone is trying to curse them. And here is God defending them when they don't even realize what's going on. Here's God protecting them when they didn't even realize they were under attack. I mean, can you see the beauty of this? And I'm telling you, and you know this, every single one of you guys sitting here, and every one of you at home, Can you imagine all the times that God has protected you and you didn't even know he was protecting you? Can you imagine every time he's been watching over you, you didn't even know what's going on? God watches over his people. The enemy's trying to curse and even Balaam, the word in his mouth, he's having to say, God's protecting them. God is blessing them. God has put a blessing. There's no curse that can touch them. There's no curse. I'm trying. My mouth is open. Blessings are coming out. The enemy's mouth is open and blessings are coming out. Can you just imagine this for a moment? When you think about this thing, I'm thinking about myself. How many times has God been at work when I didn't realize it? I mean, when you think, if any of you have been as dumb as I have been in life sometimes, any of you guys made dumb mistakes? Any of you just done stupid stuff? I mean, and been so rebellious and led my life the wrong way. And then you ever wonder, like, how did you get here? In spite of all the bad mistakes, in spite of the sin, in spite of the disobedience and rebellion that all of us have had at different times, how did we get here? And God has been leading us. God has been protecting us. God has been making a way. And the more we've opened up and he's forgiven and he's cleansed and he's shown mercy. I mean, the mercy, sometimes we don't deserve the blessing that's being put on us, probably most of the time. But he loves us so much, he's saying, hey, they're still going to be blessed. They're my people. The curse isn't going to touch them. Your God has been with you. I want you guys to know this. Your God has been with you. That's why the enemy hasn't been able to destroy you. That's why you're still here. That's why you're still going. Your God has been with you. He has protected you. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never loses sight of you. Even when you're just resting at home, binging on Netflix, you have no idea what's going on around you. You have no idea the spiritual warfare that's going on, and God is deflecting this and defending that and protecting and blessing and blessing. He never loses sight of you. Your Father in heaven loves you like you have never been loved before. I want every one of you to catch this. He loves you with this love you've never felt, even when your enemy tries to curse you. I mean, listen to this part. Even when your enemy tries to curse you, your God turns the curses into blessings. And how can we fail? How can we lose? I mean, why should we ever worry? Why should you ever be stressed? Why should you ever lose sleep at night? Even when you're sleeping, he's protecting you. You got something on your mind, something you're worried about? Go to sleep, let God protect you. Just trust God with it, just rest. God's people were just camped. They had no idea that he was protecting them. We don't have any reason to be afraid in this life. I mean, we can live like the mighty warriors that he calls us to be. We can do something because we don't even have to worry about everything going on around us. Why would you ever feel rejected? And why would we ever sit at home depressed and feeling rejected when we have a God that loves us like this? How long have you felt like God didn't even see you? Have any of you ever felt that way? I don't even know if God sees me. He sees you. He sees you. He's watching. He's been watching all along. He's the reason that you're still moving forward. He's the reason you haven't been destroyed. He's the reason you guys are here today. He's the reason I'm here today. Without God's protection, without God watching over me, without God turning curses into blessings over my life, there's no way I would be standing here. And I love this part of that blessing when he says, he is as strong as a wild ox for his people. I mean, I think of a wild ox. What is an ox? Like a curbow or something, right? Think of a wild one kicking and bucking and just, there's nothing that can stop God from getting to you when you're in trouble. The enemy may try to hold him back. He is kicking. I mean, the blessing that came through Balaam, God's word, he didn't have anything better to describe God than a wild ox, because the ox is a symbol of strength. Nothing's going to stop him. Nothing's going to keep him from you. How did Balaam miss it? How did Balaam get so focused on the gold that he missed the God? How is he so focused on the worldly things that are here today and we're so excited today, but they're ashes tomorrow? He was so excited about those things, so moved by those things, he missed everything that was eternal. Balaam had a price. Balaam could be bought. And what is your price? Man, that's when it pierces for a minute. What is your price? What will we sell out for? Well, for Balaam, it was an offer from King of Moab. But we all have to ask ourselves, what is my price? What will I sell out for? A pretty girl? A wealthy man? A successful business deal? A fancy house? Power? Position? Respect? None of those things are bad. Unless you're selling out God for those things. Unless you're saying, hey, I'm going to take this and you know what? I think I can go back to God. I think I can work this out. Let me grab this and I'll just negotiate and I'll wheel and deal. I'm a businessman. I can work this out. God sees to your heart. What will you compromise for? What will you sell out for? Safety, security, comfort? What is the price? I can think back to years and years ago when I was a bread salesman. I know I've probably mentioned that. I drove a truck, delivered bread. Early on in our marriage, I still deliver bread now, the bread of life. All right. Pause for a cheesy Christian dad joke. But I still considered that. But anyway, I was delivering literal bread, like for sandwiches and cakes and dinner rolls and every kind of bread you could imagine. I gained 30 pounds on that job. What is 30 pounds, like 15 kilos or something? I mean, after a while, I had to move all the cakes to the back of my truck because they were behind my seat, like little snack cakes, just driving along to the next delivery. I mean, before long, then I get somewhere like, okay, here's the cakes. Whoa, I guess I'm not making any profit on cakes today. But I delivered bread, and I would deliver to supermarkets and convenience stores, and I met a lot of other people delivering other things, a lot of other salespeople. And often we would talk and build these relationships. One guy that I met was a magazine salesman. I mean, his job was taking boxes of magazines, all different kinds, and put them on the racks in the supermarkets. And there was one store in particular, the magazine rack was across from the bread rack. So I would be there putting bread on the shelves. He's putting the magazines there, and we would talk. And I was a new Christian, and man, I was fired up, and I'm sharing with him about Jesus every day, and we're having these talks, and it was like our 2 days a week at least, 2 or 3 days a week, I'd see this guy, and we'd hang out, and it was just like a job relationship, you know, those kind of things. And I remember one day he stopped me, and he said, hey, I know you're a Christian, and I'm a Christian too. I've been going to church. And I'm really struggling with my job because, you know, here in the supermarket, I'm just putting out like style and fashion magazines and comic books. But I've got some other stores that I put some magazines out that I'm not comfortable with. He delivered pornographic magazines to some of the shops. And he's like, I'm a Christian and I need this job. I've got a family. I've got to pay my bills. I love this job, but I don't know how to deal with the fact that I've got these things that I don't look at them. I mean, he was clear with me. They were like the cakes for me. He put those on the back of the truck, you know. He's like, I don't look at it, but I feel guilty because I'm making money selling this to other people. He said, I don't know what to do. So I just told him, you just got to pray about it and ask God what I'm not going to tell someone, thus saith the Lord, unless God told me, tell the man not to sell it. You know, there's things we all deal with. I mean, we all knew what the thing was to do, but man, what a choice. I mean, we all need our jobs. We all need some money coming in. And after that time when we talked, I didn't see the man anymore. He never showed up to put the magazines on the rack again. He left his job. I mean, I want you to think about this for a moment. He had this question laid out before him. Will you sell out for this? Will you compromise your beliefs for a paycheck? But we just, hey, I know you feel guilty about this. I know you feel some conviction in your heart. I know the Holy Spirit is telling you this is wrong, but will you continue to do it because you get some benefit from it? He left his job. And I remember now, 20 years later, the respect I have for that guy. I can't forget that story. It still moves me now after 20 years that this magazine salesman was not for sale. He wasn't for sale. He couldn't be bought. I'm not going to give up my values for the price of a magazine. And so he left the job. I never saw him again. I don't know what happened, but I have a feeling that God blessed him. I have a feeling that God protected him. I have a feeling he didn't struggle to pay his bills because God was with the guy. So what do we do when we see this and we're asked ourselves, is our heart for sale? When we look at the errors of Balaam, this is what they were, a heart for sale. His first error was his heart was for sale. He's known as an unfaithful prophet. How would you like that label in the Bible? It's not just Jude that mentions him. He is mentioned so many times. Hey, you want an example of an unfaithful prophet? Peter talks about him. John talks about him. Wouldn't you be like, oh my gosh, there's my name again. You know, I don't know if he hears it. Do you know anyone like that? Like they're for sale. Their heart's for sale. Money over morals. You could say income over integrity. Cash over Christ. Tunai over Tuhan. Could you say it like that too? Right? Like a heart for sale. The second thing was he had a heart poisoned by selfishness. When we look at our heart, we've been talking about this in freedom, in the midweek we have blockages to our hearts. I mean, all of us have these blockages. There's four different blockages of the heart: selfishness, bitterness, rejection, evil thoughts. Balaam's error was he had a heart poisoned with selfishness. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong, but he was selfish. What am I going to get? When we ask ourselves, is God really first? Is God really first in my life? Is he really most important? Or is God first unless a better deal comes along? Well, he's first depending on how many zeros are on the paper. I can be bought. No, we don't want to be selfish like Balaam. The third one, he had a life full of compromise. Balaam will forever represent compromise, selling out, someone who rationalizes or justifies sin. I seek God plus this, or I follow God but that. I worship God and something else. It's like saying, yes, Lord, I will obey you, but I'll obey you unless. He's known for this. Compromise means to settle for less. I mean, literally, compromise means to settle for less. You're compromising. There's something better, a better life, but you compromise, you settle for less. When we look at this, when sin is involved, it's often the idea that a little sin is okay. I mean, have any of us ever thought that it's just a little sin? It's just a small lie. It's just a small thing in the grand scheme. Just a little sin is okay. It made me think of a story. I brought some delicious brownies. I know all of you guys were waiting to get to the brownies. I remember this story. I've heard it several times and recently saw it again on social media. And I even heard another pastor share this again recently. And then when I was reading this about Balaam, I was like, man, this story, nothing illustrates what we're talking about better than these delicious brownies. And this story is about a dad who is teaching his teenage kids about sin. They had asked permission to do something. They were a little upset with their dad because he didn't let them do something they wanted to do that wasn't going to be good for them, that could hurt them or be bad for their life. So he protected them and didn't let them do what they wanted to do. And then here's these teenage boys in their house, and they start smelling some delicious baking. I don't know if you can smell this because the fan is blowing this way. But they smell it, and they're trying to think, wow, maybe Dad feels bad about not letting us do that thing we wanted to do. Maybe he's feeling guilty, and he's baking something, and their mouth starts watering, you know, when you smell the baking, and they're trying to guess, I wonder what it is. Is it cake? Is it cupcakes? What is it? Finally, Dad walks into the room with a plate full of warm, fresh brownies. And they see the brownies, and they are so excited. They are full of joy and full of hunger. And they see it like, wow, I can't wait. They're reaching for the brownies, and the dad says, hey, I want you boys to know that I baked these because I love you. I mean, you guys, I didn't personally bake these, but the story. I bake these because I love you. But before you take a bite, I want to tell you that because I loved you, I used all the best ingredients. And he's explaining, I use organic ingredients. They're actually healthy brownies. Mostly everything. I mean, organic flour, free-range eggs. There's organic sugar even. There's vanilla, there's chocolate, and then one other ingredient that's not usually in brownies that I found in the backyard. But everything's okay. Here, have some. And they're so excited about the brownies, and they want to have a bite of the brownies so bad. But that one mention of the ingredient that's not normally in brownies that came from the backyard has their suspicions triggered. They're like, yeah, Dad, thanks so much for the brownies, and I can't wait to eat them, but could you tell us a little bit more about that ingredient? Don't worry about it. Just a little bit. Just eat. It's just a little bit of it. But Dad, I really kind of like to know what was that other ingredient. Don't worry. It's organic. Like the flour, it's natural. It's organic. Just a spoonful. And I'm like, Dad, what's in the brownies? He's like, it's just one spoonful of dog poop mixed in with the rest of the ingredients. And they didn't want the brownies anymore. Would you guys like some brownies? I didn't bake these. But the whole idea was, say, all of this good stuff, but there's just a little bit of something you don't want in there, right? And then in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, how much is too much sin in our life? How much is just a little compromise, just a little sin, just a little deceit, just a little dishonest, just a little corrupt? How much is too much? With the brownies, one spoonful is too much, right? How many of you would have eaten the brownies? One spoonful, no big deal. I can't even imagine. If the brownies were near dog poop while they were baked, I wouldn't eat them. You know, I don't even want fumes on it. But how much is too much sin in your life? Jude warns us, don't be like Balaam. Don't have a heart for sale. Don't have a heart poisoned with selfishness. Don't have a life full of compromise, constant compromising. So this is the way we respond. We believe that God turns the curses into blessings. When we hear this story, it's the only way we can respond to this message today is to understand that we can trust God to turn curses into blessings. In Deuteronomy 23:5, it says, however, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turn the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. Why has he turned the curses into blessings? Because he loves you. He takes what the enemy meant for evil and turns it for good. Even when we don't see it, he's working, right? I mean, we sing the songs. We could see it in this story. Man, this is what's happening. The second thing is, don't settle for less than God's best. Everyone, don't settle. The enemy is constantly going to offer you something. Hey, I know you got this going on. Let me offer you a deal, you know? Will you take this? Will you trade this? Don't settle for less. Any single people out there? We have some single people here, right? My advice to single people is don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Run after God and wait for a partner who can keep up with you. Because otherwise, if you're going somewhere in life and the other person isn't, it's a drag. You know, we have that term ball and chain. It'd be like that. Like, man, I'm chasing after God, but she's not. I'll just drag her along. Thankfully, I don't have that experience. But I didn't settle. I have something good. God's blessed me. C.S. Lewis said, a woman's heart should be so close to God that a man should have to chase him to find her. Wow. Is that some good advice for godly girls? You chase after God. The guy should have to chase God to find you because you're up near God. That's not settling for less than the best. When you're going somewhere in life, you can't settle. How much is too much sin? How much is too much compromise? How much is too much of my way and not enough of God's way? How much is too much? Where are you compromising in your life? We all have to ask ourselves these things. Where are you trying to negotiate with God? Your enemy cannot curse you So it tried to cause you to curse yourself. When we compromise, when we settle, that's what Balaam ended up doing. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I mentioned the place Shittim, where God's people fell into sin? Balaam could not curse the people, so he led them into that sin. He couldn't curse. God kept putting a word in his mouth, so he led God's people to a place where they sold themselves out. He offered them something. They sold themselves out. The enemy couldn't curse them, and they ended up cursing themselves by selling out for sexual immorality and idolatry, and they were worshiping other gods. How do we avoid this? Mark your valuables. You have to mark your valuables. You have to decide in your life, what is valuable? What are my non-negotiables? You know, I hate negotiating. I'll just confess it, I hate going to souvenir shops where there's no price tags. I mean, some of you guys may love it. My wife loves it. She can go into a shop and something can be marked 50,000 rupiah. She can get it for 15,000 rupiah. If I go in, it's 50,000 rupiah. I end up paying 75. I don't even know why that happens. I'm just bad at negotiating. I can't win. And when you negotiate with your enemy, you lose every time. None of us are good with negotiating with the enemy. None of us are good with those things. So we need to mark our valuables. We need to know what is non-negotiable so we don't sell something of value for a lesser price. The enemy will always try to put a lower price on things. Sell this out. But what's the value? What's the price? If he can't curse you, he'll try to convince you to settle for less. So don't compromise. Don't settle for less. Mark your valuables. And this is the last verse I want to leave us with today. It's from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, because we've talked a lot about him over the last few weeks. This was Joshua marking his valuables when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He put a mark. This is non-negotiable. My life is for serving the Lord. My family will serve the Lord. Everything that goes on in this house will be for the Lord. Can I pray for you guys? Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for this warning that Jude gives us. Lord, I'm thankful for this reminder, Lord, that we can look at Balaam's life and there's so much there, Lord, so much. I hope everyone will just, from their homes, Lord, read this themselves and see what you've done. The amazing thing, Lord, where you turned curses into blessings. Lord, I pray that people sitting at home right now would be reminded of how much you have been doing for them. Lord, they'd be reminded of your love. They'd be reminded that you have not lost them, that you see them and you are watching over them and you are doing far more than they have even realized you were doing. Even when we didn't realize the enemy was throwing curses, you were turning them into blessings, Lord. So Lord, when we hear this, I pray that we can rest in the peace, knowing that you watch over us. Lord, we can rest and not have our minds filled with worry and doubt and stress because you are a God who protects your people and blesses your people. And Lord, I pray this reminder of Balaam's life would remind each of us not to have a heart that is for sale. Lord, that we would be people like that magazine salesman that will not sell out. Lord, our hearts are for you, and there is nothing that will change that. There is no price. There is no sin. There is no compromise. There is nothing that we will sell you out for, Lord. Our hearts are for you, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we would all make that decision right now. We will not follow the error of Balaam. We will not negotiate, Lord, with the enemy, and we will not try to make deals with you, Lord. I ask that you would bless us, Lord, that you would lead our hearts, Lord God. Any sin in our life, any compromise right now, Lord, no matter how small it is, even the smallest is too much, Lord. So right now, Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. Lord, even the things that we think is the smallest thing, Lord, would you forgive us right now? Would you give us a new heart? Lord, for those that are watching at home right now, Lord, would you speak to their heart, reveal those little things that maybe they didn't even realize it was there. Maybe it's just a spoonful of something, Lord, but you show them, and right now they can say, "Father, forgive me. Take that out. Search my heart, O God, and see if there's any wicked way, any darkness and cleanse us, Lord God, so that we can be pure and we can be holy. Lord, that we could mark our valuables like Joshua and we would live for you. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Wow. Now we're about to eat some brownies here because these do not have dog poop in them. All right. Trust me. Trust me. I love you guys. God bless you. And I'll see you next week.